Well, as you may suspect, I'm still stuck on a few thoughts. I'm those that may not know, I'm building, so that's part of my thoughts. There where I live, you know, I live in a little camper, and I'm building, you know, the carport, and I've got a little shack that I call an outhouse, which it's out away from where my house will be someday, and so I'm building, and so that entertains my thoughts from time to time, and you know, I think about building, and the last time I spoke, about one of the verses that I spoke about was the 27th Psalm here in Psalms, and I want to touch on that a little bit, and just get some thoughts from that. But it's quite an undertaking to anything you build. I mean, ladies, build a meal. Well, where are you going to get the things to cook with? You know, you got to have pots, pans, and so whenever you talk about building, I mean, there's a lot of different aspects to think about. It's not, you know, when you think about building, you think about an edifice or a building, and you think about that. But there's other aspects to that, and you can build on different things. You can build on different thoughts, and you can take a thought and then build on that. And so it's not just a building, but primarily that is my thought, is a building. And to build, we construct quilts, and we gather the material, you've got to have somebody that knows what they're doing. And we talked a little bit about that last time, you know, the contractor, which is what I believe that blessed is everyone, except the Lord. I went to the wrong psalm. That's where my mind is. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So we have the contractor, the individual that is going to build the house. And a lot of times, me and Brother Don were talking about some of these aspects, and sometimes you get the wrong contractor. You get the wrong guy to he overcharges you. He delays the, you know, he adds to the cost. That's not the kind of contract, that's not the kind of builder that we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. On a day-to-day basis, we're dealing with a contractor or a builder that he's going to provide the things that are necessary at a minimum cost, and the cost is what is the beautiful part of it, that. And that aspect I won't have any time to go into with what I'm thinking about talking about. But the cost was the death, burial, and resurrection of his son. That was the cost of our building. But the contractors put all that into play, and there's not a lot. Well, we don't have anything to do with it. When you look at, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. We're talking about the Creator of all things. And when you start with a building, you're going to get some property somewhere. You're going to get some land somewhere. Well, who created all the land we see around us? getting some land for God is not going to be a problem. It's not going to be anything to him to have that. We try to jump ahead and we get the wrong contractor. We buy the property in the wrong place. And that's when we get all this together and we, you know, work on these things and we get ahead of thinking about where we need to build and where we need, what we need to do. And here, and I'm reading here, and it says a song of degrees for Solomon. And of course, you know, I used to think that every psalm in the Bible was written by David. I thought every psalm was a psalm of David. And then I get to studying about psalms, and they're psalms that the Jewish people had that were written by various and different people. They weren't all written by David. And so this particular psalm is a psalm, song of degrees for Solomon. Now, who wrote it, I don't know, but it was a song of degrees for Solomon. He could have wrote it. His father David could have wrote it. I don't know who wrote it for sure. I don't know if they know, the Jews know who wrote it, but it was a song of degrees for Solomon. And then when we think about that, who built the temple of God in Jerusalem? Well, it was Solomon. Well, when you get to thinking about that, where did the material come from? Where did the land come? Where God told David where that temple was going to be built. David got all of that material together before Solomon, his son, became king. And all of the material things that were necessary for that temple were there in place whenever Solomon came about. But also, God made Solomon the wisest man that ever was. And he gave him instruction as to the building of the temple. So the place, the land, the material, and all of, and I'm talking about natural things here, and don't misunderstand me. There's a lot of things that can conflict with my thoughts, I'm just sharing you some thoughts that I've had over studying the thought of building. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, what if Solomon, okay, had a thought, you know, where God wants me to build, that's okay, but what if I build it over here? That's got a better advantage. Excuse me. That's a better looking hill over there. Why can't I build it over there? Why can't I build it down in the valley? Why do I have to build it up here where God told me to build it? Or what if he decided, well, I don't want to use the material that you know, I don't want to build the door. Why should I build it X amount of cubits and X amount of cubits high and this and that? And well, see, there's your bad contractor. Because they get up, I mean, here you got a good plan, a design and everything. And then they just, the bad contractor will go off and he won't build it to design. He'll build it to kind of how he likes to build. And before you know it, it'll all fall apart. Or if they move it into a location where it's not a good location to build, well then, you might have a low spot where the rivers and the water come through, or it might be on such a high point that there's trouble for everybody to get to it, or in a place where nobody can find it. But we have a Song of Degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And how often do we try to build without consulting God? How often do we build without thinking about where God wants us to be and how God wants us to live? Because as Brother Don mentioned in his sermon, we are the temple of God. We are the building. We are the very structure that God has built. And so what if I take the temple of God in places where it's not supposed to be? That is another. Of course, this is a portable building. We can go various places, but still. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. I've kind of dwelt on that to a point, and I'm going to try to get some things out of the way for Brother Barrington. He told me what he's been thinking about, and I'll look at some things in the chapters preceding the one he told me about. And I'll start here in the second chapter of the first book of Corinthians. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. God built the house, except the Lord built the house. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things that we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And then it continues. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am Apollos, and are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed? Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, and Apollos. See, God gave that. God gave that building, and we're trying to build in different places that we shouldn't be building. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So the builder is God, and that foundation, if we don't have that foundation, I was reading a magazine, and it was a commercial for a roofing material, and it said build from the roof down. And I thought, well, yeah, that's going to make for a pretty roof, but you're not going to have any structure, and you're not going to have any foundation, you know. You don't want to build from, and that's a lot of times people will want to build, it's kind of like the parable of the man that built his house on the sand, the foolish man and the wise man that built his house on the rock. Well, one had a foundation that would sustain and support the building that it was trying to support, and the other one wouldn't hold up the building. So, and I may have said that backwards. I get confused from time to time. But hopefully you understand what I'm talking about. One of the foundations was not suitable for the building, and the other foundation was suitable for the building. The foundation that here is laid, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I hope that you will continue to think about, we are the building of God. He has built us up to make us a habitation for his Spirit. And we need to be careful how we build upon the foundation that God has laid. I hope that you would continue to pray for Brother Barrington as he comes forth, and just continue to pray for each and every one here. Thank you.
I really appreciate Brother Joe coming and sharing with us his thoughts about building, having a strong foundation. We think about the temple and the church and everything. We go carnal and we think of, well, this building, you know, this structure here. But the building really that's in consideration is the church, the people within the church. And if the Lord does not build that part, if he doesn't give us the blueprints and the way to go about building a church as we all come together, then we labor in vain. There's a lot of things that we're given because we have been given the ability to see and to understand some things. I appreciate him reading in 1 Corinthians. My mind's got away from my particular verse that I was talking about, but our kids are going to school, and Avery may have a teacher that she's got in some English class. It may be, what's your English teacher's name? What's her name? What is it? Vasquez? Miss Vasquez is her English teacher, and Miss Vasquez is going to teach her about English. She'll be taught of Miss Vasquez. She are by Miss Vasquez. She's not going to be taught about Miss Vasquez. Now follow me here. Is she going to be taught about Miss Vasquez, or is she going to be taught of Miss Vasquez or by Miss Vasquez? You follow what I'm saying there? And the reason I'm doing that, the little word of, O-F, is one of the smallest words in the Bible. It's got a big, big meaning. Christ in the 6th chapter of John, and we're going to look over in Isaiah 2. The 44th verse. The Jews have come to Christ murmuring, complaining. And Jesus answered them, said, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke a little bit about that drawing. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. When we talked about the well, you may remember, there's a well. Some of us in olden days had a well. We'd go out and we'd throw a bucket down in the well, and we would draw water out of that well. Now, by what power did that water come up out of that well? Was it the water's power, or was it the bucket's power? No, it was by your power. The power that you cranked that thing and you drew that water up, the water had nothing to do with it. Brother Don's used the illustration, in your bedroom you've got a chest of drawers. And you put your clothes in there, your underwear, your socks, you got certain things. But that drawer has no power of itself. You have to draw it out. It takes your power to pull that drawer out. Another example I use is about drawing a picture. You lay a pen and a piece of paper down right here on this podium and say, "Now, okay, I want a picture." Well, that paper and that pen are going to just sit there and look at you and laugh at you, if they could do that. I have to pick the pen up, and I have to draw that picture. It takes another power to draw. So what point I'm getting at, let's read again. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. By what power does that man come to Christ? You can answer out loud. The power of our Lord. And I will raise him up at the last day. Christ is saying, if the Lord draws a man to me, I'm going to raise him up at the last day. And then he says, it is written in the prophets. You know, I love it when Christ does this a lot. The best reference you can go to about the Bible is go read more in the Bible. And he's saying right here, it's written in the prophets in the Old Testament. And they shall be all taught of God. My point earlier, she's taught of Miss Vasquez. She's not taught about Miss Vasquez. People want to say, well, here it says, hey, every man therefore, where'd it go? Written in the prophets, they shall all be taught about God. No, that's not what it's saying. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So you could say, some of the religious world says, well, that's all you got to do is tell people about God, teach them about God, and here it says they'll come to him. Well, we just made the example that you don't come to the Lord unless you're drawn to the Lord. Let's read it again. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. That means God's going to do the teaching. God is going to teach his people what they need to know, and he's going to plant his love in their heart. And they're going to be regenerated and born again. And the Lord's going to teach them what they need to know. Do you, in your own personal experience, as in your spiritual life, as you've gone and and learned things and done things. Has there not been things that just come to you somehow and you say, aha, I see that. I get this. I understand. Where did that come from? It was the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, opening your eyes and showing you these things and brought life and immortality to light. What happens when something's brought to light? You see things and you understand things. I've used this example before. We could all walked in here and it's midnight. It's total darkness. And we never been in this building before. And we walk into the door there and we stand and we don't know what's in it. We've never been here before, but there's stuff in here. We don't know what it is. But as soon as we flip the light switch on, all of a sudden we say, oh, well, we see chairs. Here's a bookshelf, here's books, song books, there's a podium. We must be inside of a church. Did that confession that you just made about what you see and what you understand now, did that make all this stuff appear? No, it was already here. The life and immortality was already there. It's brought to light when you hear the gospel, when the Lord gives you the power, he preaches to you. It may be by the elders, it may be by your friends, but when you see the truth about the gospel of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, things are brought to light to you. I do understand. I was a dead alien sinner. I was nothing. Nothing. And if it hadn't have been for the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there would be no hope for me. But I see now that he did what he did for us. Now we go over, you know, we love to read in Ephesians, but you know, it's a good time to jump over to Ephesians. First chapter of Ephesians, let's just read. This is where we wear it out, you know. We should have tracks on these two chapters. Fourth chapter, let's just read the third from the third verse. First chapter, third verse. I get ahead of myself. Y'all yell at me and slow me down. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted into beloved. According to the good pleasure of what? Of your will? You decided you wanted to do this or you wanted to know this? No, to the good pleasure of his will. Seventh verse, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. This is all on our Lord. This is all on Christ. It's not on you. You don't decide to accept something. You don't decide to receive something. It's given to you. If it's given to you, you receive it. I will say that. I was talking to Brother Joe and Brother Kendall this morning. You can receive a black eye. Somebody bops you in the face, hits your eye, it's going to get black, and you've received that black eye. Did you have anything to do? Maybe you should have ducked a little bit, but you didn't want that black eye to show up. You received it, and now it's there, and you possess it. It's a black eye. It's there. You can receive a summons to go to be in the jury. That's not something you'd make happen. So receiving and accepting, somebody that receives something, they accept something. The reason they have it, the reason they have that birth is because the Lord put it in their hearts. The Lord gave it to them. And anybody that has received that, it's evidence that they are. Does that make sense? It's evidence that they are. I talk to people all the time. They come into my store and they talk of spiritual things, but they don't have a lot of understanding about it. But they do show a desire, a willingness to learn and to discuss, and always delight in telling them, you know, that desire, that love, that joy that you're expressing, wanting to learn more about the things of the Lord, tells me that you are His, that the Lord has taught you, you've been taught of the Lord these things. A lot of times they don't want to listen to it. They want to believe, well, no, I accepted my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when I was 17 at a convention in the wherever, and I know that I did that. They can't seem to get man out of it. I did it. Good thing God liked it, because I did it. Man gets puffed up within himself. He wants to say, oh, look, I did it. Let's look over in Isaiah 54th chapter. And the point I'm trying to make, is about how are you taught of the Lord? How do you get the things of the Lord? You're given eyes to see, to hear, words to ears to hear, understanding. You can listen to the ministers expound the gospels of grace, but with the ears that you've been given and your eyes that have been opened, you gain an understanding. But there's a teaching that goes on with every child of God. In the 13th verse of the 54th chapter of Isaiah, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Here the prophet Isaiah, this is what Christ was quoting over in the New Testament. You know, when Christ quotes a prophet's verse, that pretty much confirms that it's pretty much so, you know. And the point he's making, they over here in the 6th chapter, the Jews were all worried about everybody. Well, everybody's believing. Everybody's running to Christ. Everybody's getting baptized. Let's look back. Back over in the 6th chapter. The 37th verse. Talking again about the people that the Lord draws to Him. The people that are brought to Christ, not by their power, but by the power of the Lord. The 37th verse is saying, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. What he's saying here, those that come to me were given to me by my Father in heaven. And those that come to me by my Father's power, I'm not going to cast them out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. 2 or 3 months ago, we were talking about doing the Father's will, weren't we, David? Yeah, we talked about that. 39th verse and the 40th. Let's read these two. And Christ is going to tell us what the Father's will is. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You know, a lot of times that the Arminian group say, oh, ha, ha, look there. It says right there, you got to see the Son, you got to believe on him, and then you get everlasting life. You know, that's just a statement of fact. He just got through saying, all which he would given me, I'll lose nothing. Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him, they can't see the Son or believe on me unless they were drawn to me by the power of my Father and the Holy Spirit. Someone that believes in Christ, someone that has the desire to worship Him, somebody that has the desire to come out here and be among us and be with us, that's because they've been drawn by the power of our Savior. And as Christ says, He's going to raise them up in the last day. And who are we to deny the fact that they are who they are? It's a wonderful thing. I don't understand why we don't have more people among us. I know there's people out there hungering and thirsting for the truth. They don't know what the truth is. I feel like they're looking. They haven't found us, but we got to believe that the Lord, by His power, will bring them to us. That doesn't mean that we sit down and eat cake all the time. We need to be diligent and in our lives, in the way we conduct ourselves, letting our light so shine that others around about us might see and might be curious about what it is that you have. Do you ever get questions sometimes? I'm sure that happens to y'all. I wish it happened to me more often because I'm weak and not strong. But there's times that people have asked me, you know, I don't ever hear you cuss. You seem to be calm and kind and considerate. Where do you go to church? You know, and it's a blessing when I'm asked that. Like I said, it doesn't happen very often because I'm weak, I'm a sinner, I'm poor, and I'm needy. But I'm thankful for the grace our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our Heavenly Father, and the Spirit of the Lord that has come into our hearts and quickened us and gave us the desire to meet together. I feel like if anything was built when Brother Joe was up here, I feel like I just tore it all apart, brother. So forgive me. We miss Brother Ed. He wasn't able to be with us, and this is what happens when we don't have able ministers here. Some of us have to get up here and stumble around. I want you to forgive my mistakes and my errors and my shortcomings, but I'm thankful for each and every one of you and love you in the Lord. Thankful for the grace and the mercy that we're shown here at Midland Church. I'd like to see these seats tripled, more people here, more fellowship. But if it's just us, we will continue to stand in the truth of the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.